silence of the night, we'll chant a soldier's song. Soldiers are we, whose lives are pledged to Ireland. Some have come from a land beyond the wave, sworn to be free, no more our ancient Ireland shall shatter. Same old flag that's proudly floating o'er us. We're children of a fighting race that never yet has known disgrace. And as we march the foe to face, we'll chant a soldier's song. So
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 18th day of March, year 2018, and we've entitled today's program, The Storm Is Here. Our guest today will be Doc Waterman, who will join me here in just a minute, and his website is the watermanfiles.com. And again, that is the Waterman, W-A-T-E-R, watermanfiles.com. Before we get into the heart of the matter, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. Do not be deceived. Yahweh our Elohim is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, we have, it will be in the last days that Yahweh says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Hallelujah. We're in that time. The storm is here, folks. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. I might also say to the Irish, since yesterday was St. Paddy's Day, they are also my kinsmen on my father's side, both the Welsh and the Irish. I would like to also remind everybody, thanks to Brother Hebert and Pastor Eli and the folks at EFR, the new calendars are available. I just received mine, and I'm going to tell you, it is a work of art. I would highly recommend you contact Pastor Eli and Brother Hebert and see about getting a copy. And it was interesting, as I was looking at it, I noticed this is the 91st day of this particular quarter. And today at evening starts the Soldier's Sabbath. The following day is our New Year for the Hebrews, the true Israelites. Our New Year starts. So kind of interesting it all came together. 91st day, the 91st Psalm is the Soldier's Psalm. I would highly recommend you folks read it. In fact, for those of us who are still considered active duty soldiers in Yahweh's army, it should be a psalm that we read quite frequently. Also, the fact that it is a soldier's Sabbath, meaning a rest. I thought that very appropriate because isn't it time for our soldiers to stop dying for our enemies? How about a Sabbath? What does Sabbath mean? It means a rest. The weekly Sabbath is a rest from what you do to make a living. What you do to make a living, you rest from that. A soldier's Sabbath then would be a rest from fighting. And I got a novel concept. Why don't we rest from fighting these Jewish wars so corporations can make money and Jewish entities can get rid of their competition, because that's what our soldiers have been bleeding and dying for. I think it's time it stops. What better time than on the Hebrew calendar, the Soldier's Sabbath today at evening time starts the day. What a fitting time, especially with all the things that we're going to talk about here with Doc in just a minute. The storm is upon us, and I think the Jubilee is about to happen. So, also want to remind everybody, I try to keep it up to date on a daily basis, but important news, etc., is at PastorDan.net. There's a lot of other information there as well. To the supporters we have out there, thank you so much. And all a special hats off to the volunteers who contacted me the last time Doc was on a week ago. He asked for volunteers that want to be part of the communications network that Doc's working on. Patriots, Israelites, and we had some volunteers step up. Bless their hearts. I pray a prayer of protection on all of those folks, especially the volunteers that just called and stepped up to the plate. And I also ask a soldier's ransom. I know it's not the Feast of Tabernacles, but sometimes you have to ask for favors from Father, possibly out of sync with the feast schedule. But since I think we're at a critical juncture here, I'm asking the soldier's ransom be paid by every soldier. And real quick, let me just put it this way. In today's money, it'd be about a dollar. That's all. A half shekel of silver today is about $1 bill. So it's a very tiny amount. It's the symbology of it, soldiers. It's the symbology. You are a soldier in his army. Contribute $1 to the work of our Father, the building of the kingdom, for the message, for a pastor, whatever your heart's desire, but give that $1 in humility and humble yourself before Father Yahweh and pay that. And then the elders are to pray over their heads, anoint their heads with oil and pray over them and ask, Father, bless them. Make their hearts pure. Make them strong for the fight with good discernment and great courage. And most of all, Father Yahweh, protect us from our enemies. We have a lot. Okay, I had something else I wanted to share with you here. Oh, the fact that it's yesterday was St. Paddy's Day when St. Patrick drove the serpents from Ireland. Just as a reminder, folks, do you really think he drove out all the reptiles that we call snakes or reptiles today with that slither on the ground? Do you think those are the serpents he drove out of Ireland? Or could it be the Nakash spoken of in the book of Genesis that deceived and seduced Eve. No, it wasn't a snake curling around in a tree and having to do with an apple. It had to do with a two-legged Nakash, a serpent, a snake, a deceiving and decrepit person who deceived and seduced Eve. Patrick drove those serpents out of Ireland. And one last note before we bring Doc on. Ireland is known throughout antiquity as Hibernia. Do you know what Hibernia means? The new land of the Hebrews. Is Ireland a very special spot? Hallelujah, it is. And I hope you enjoyed the soldier song that I played. That's an Irish tune. And the words and lyrics of that song are very apropos for this day. For our kinfolk over in the peninsula where Spain and Portugal are, that was known as Iberia. Iberia. The land of the Hebrews. And when our ancestors, ancient ancestors, crossed the waters into what is known as the United Kingdom, that's when the land, the Emerald Isles, became known as Hibernia. Do you see the difference? Iberia to Hibernia. So land of the Hebrews in the area of Spain became the new land of the Hebrews in Hibernia. And of course, we all know from the work of E. Raymond Capt and other biblical archaeologists that the Celtic language is very, very close in the phonetic speaking and in context to ancient Hebrew. And the closest of the Gaelic languages to that ancient Hebrew is Welsh, believe it or not. And of course, Irish and Scottish is right behind that. Okay, Doc, if you're with me, jump on in here, buddy.
Well, we're going to say hello from deep inside the castle. How are you all today? And thanks for the opportunity to be on again, Pastor Dan.
Oh, it's our honor. And, you know, there's so much going on now, Charles. I wanted to get up the note that you had sent me here for us to use as points, but I just a lot has happened even since I spoke with you last, and we decided to do the program today. Colonel Potter and many other channels are talking about the evidence now. Even Colonel Potter, who does not give a whole lot of credibility to the Q posts, even though I think there is some truth to them. We should not put all of our trust in any one source, of course, but when it correlates, that's when it catches my attention. And what Q is posting now is correlating to what I'm hearing from personal friends that live near military bases. The folks that live there told me that they have never seen so much activity, at an active duty military post as it is today. As what's happening right now. So it goes right along as a double witness to what Colonel Potter is saying. His sources are saying that the military is abuzz, and it's beginning to look like this is the storm that we've all been talking about, and all of us always trust, but you verify. So people say, well, the naysayers are saying, oh, well, then this is the New World Order coming after the Patriots. Yeah, it could be. But it also just as easily could be Yahweh opening the door for the folks who love liberty and love truth and justice to take down the wicked. We read the Bible. Everything it says in the Bible is what's happening right now, Doc. So, you know, why couldn't that be it? I mean, the economic system, the world economic system is getting ready to crash, just like Revelation says. The world shipping is at near a standstill, just like it says. The merchants are going out of business. The revealing of all the hidden things, we're in the middle of that. And at some point, the son of perdition, the children of the wicked one, are exposed. And that's when the whole world says, my God, this is what deceived the whole world. We're on the verge of that happening. And even Mark Taylor, whether you believe him or not, the guy that was interviewed by Greg Hunter the other day, and he predicted Donald Trump's presidency. He's a Judeo-Christian, but he seems to have some valid prophecies. Was talking about the fact that there is about to be uncovered a very huge discovery that is going to rock the Christian world, the Judeos out there, the denominational churches, and the fact that the Roman Catholic Church will be exposed for what it is. So a lot of things happening, Doc.
There is. It's going to be challenging our faith. It's going to be challenging us in so many ways. And you said that, you know, there's a lot of military activity. And, well, there certainly is. And let me make a comment about the military activity. When I was a state commander, we had we kept track of things like the hostage rescue team, because when it went hot and wherever they were going, we knew there was trouble brewing, and we needed to become aware of that group again now. But as we watched the military activities, they weren't like they are now. And there's only two things that happen when military activates. There's only two places they'll go, either domestic or international. So we have to wonder where the world is taking them or if they're staying home. I've got a problem with both as far as what could be a problem. If they go international, all our fighting men are gone. If they then decide to go ahead and crash the banking system, all hell will break loose here, and many of our good soldiers will be gone, and then it'll leave probably a small remnant of people here. If they're staying here, they are probably not going to be all over the map. They will probably be strategically hitting certain places. And I kind of have a wall on the map that's targeting certain areas. Say, for example, they would probably go in and take over certain states that are absolutely the most aberrant to morality and U.S. constitutional law there is. You've got California, you've got Vermont, you've got New York City, you've got, and these types of places are right now where they're taking guns. Illinois, Washington State, they're hitting it now. And they're just going to onesie-twosie it. Oh, well, it's just one. That's not taking our guns. No, they are setting precedent so they can do it to everybody. We have this occurring not in states that have high counts per person, like Montana. You're having it at those states where you have the most aberrant adherence to Antichrist morality in the entire United States. That's where it's going on. And this is probably going to get worse. As far as international, our enemy is not Russia. It is not. I've been hauled off by East European communists and thought I was going to be shot. And those people were not Russians. They were Bolshevik Jewish communists. And they hated Christianity. And that's a long ways from Russia today. Our real enemy is not Russia. If we're going to be international, what we need to be preparing for, both economically and militarily, is China. And I think they're going to be a threat. We do not need Russia to ally with them, but guess what we've done? We've pushed Russia into the laps of China. We forced them to be buddies with them. And we've done it economically, and so where else could they go? They had to go to China. I don't think, really, tell you the truth, they want to be there. I don't think that they have anything in common culturally at all. You know, obviously, as far as faith and belief. We have the most ruthless system installed now in China, with now what we have is the resurrection of an emperor, because this new leader in China has now been installed for life. It is no longer a republic, or never was. It is just a flat-out emperor dictatorship. So, the excuse that we're seeing is we have these huge factions within our country, and some of them that have the trigger finger of the military are going to get us in trouble if we can't get them on the end of a rope real soon. It's going to be really bad. Russia has already told the United States, don't even think about coming to Syria. We're going to take, we'll literally attack you. And that's exactly what the Jews in Israel are trying to do, provoking that so that they can engage. Now, there's something else not very many people know about. With my contacts with people that are down in South America, and that's this, and I'm just going to kind of throw that out there for you all to be aware of. There's a huge problem in South America right now with one nation. And that nation, of course, has been destabilized on purpose, and it's Venezuela. Well, my contact that called me as he was leaving Venezuela said is kind of important. And I asked him, how in the world did you get into Venezuela? Did you go as a tourist? And he said, no, he said a corporation. That could be the U.S., because corporations don't give you passports from other countries when you're an American. Like, he was on a Canadian passport with a fake name going inside Venezuela. Why was he doing that is what I asked. What are you there for? He says, I was asked to find out when war was going to break loose. I said, well, it already has, basically. You know, I thought he meant the insurgents and the civil riots and the eruption. And they have a horrible inflation rate of over 7,000%. So, you know, it's on, you know, as far as I knew. He said, no, no, no. Venezuela has asked Russia to buy their oil. So they bought it. And how they're paying Venezuela back is in military armament. The military armament is already in Venezuela. But what didn't come alone. It came with Russian soldiers. And the Russians would love to settle down Venezuela, do some trade with them, and resurrect their economy. But we, America, the deep state side, the ones that have their fingers on the triggers, have sent some troops into Colombia, which are on the border, which is on the border of Venezuela, and the American military is building a huge presence to counter the Russian presence. And he went down there to see when the war was going to erupt. Now, it was predicted by him to start before the end of this last year. So some things have changed. It sounds like good things have changed, but it hasn't happened yet, but they're still there. It's kind of one of those DMZs, you know, like we're seeing in North Korea. Why in the world would we care? You know, the point that I'm getting at is we have to monitor all of this activity to find out a lot of information about where we're at. Now, why? The question is why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Israelite people, our kin, we're in now the very last chapter of our physical nation as a people on this planet. We're in the last chapter, and we are literally fighting for our survival. How many times have nationalists that had no biblical background said we were going to go to war, and how many times has the media and everybody else naysayed them? And now we have blatant comments everywhere that it's Whitey that's the problem. It isn't just a small group of people. We have the lines drawn in this country, and it's a lot different than it was 20 years ago in the 90s when we were very, very actively trying to survive, as free people. With all the onslaughts, it just kept ramping up. We have more coming. I think it's going to probably be by the skin of the teeth if we survive. Now, we know we're going to survive. Well, it's prophetic that we're supposed to survive. But we got to go through hell before we get there.
I agree. And our goal has always been to bring as many of our people through the fire with us as possible. As the analogy of Noah's day that Christ spoke of himself, a righteous remnant, though they be small in number, was given provisions to allow them to come through the fire. And we believe that's going to happen in this day and age. Only the remnant will be much more than just one family. It's still, compared to the population of the earth, will still be a tiny remnant.
Very tiny, very tiny. A drop in the ocean, so to speak. But, hey, as I wrote out to everybody, by the way, it was kind of, I guess you could say, Irish poetic justice that I was writing to the soldiers that have volunteered that you mentioned on St. Pat's Day. So that's a small number for sure, but so was the group that went into recon the Promised Land.
Amen. Amen. It's quality, not quantity. It's always been that way.
Always. You know, when you have men that are able to take 10 down of the normal, that was a supernatural blessing at that time to fight the devils. You know, they were pretty big. And so, you know, when you had to stand on somebody's arm and pry their hand off a sword, that's a pretty tough guy.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, Doc, give me just a second. I forgot to give the call-in number in case somebody out there has something they want to share with us or ask you a question. Folks, get your pencils. It's area code is 605. The phone number is 472-5300. And this particular call is, the ID number for it is 649-249. So again, that's 605-472-5300. And the ID number is 649-249. Go ahead, Doc.
You know, it's interesting. There were some people, not of faith, that worked at a health food store. Now, on a regular basis, I go into a health food store and talk to people pre-appointment-wise occasionally, and I will go out on the floor, and it's a big one. And people, I have questions, I answer them. I just try to, you know, guide them a little bit. If there's more in-depth need, we just set up appointments and we go to my office. The clinic, make it more private. But one of the workers that was in the ordering and purchasing of this came out to me and she says, "I think you're going to know this." I said, "Oh, really?" She says, "I have a question and I need to sit down and talk to you about. Have you ever heard of something called the Jubilee?" I about fell over. This is probably one of the most heathen people as far as religious. Well, this person happens to be also in online school doing a PhD, so they're not stupid. But as far as being a believer, that's the last thing. To have the world, what I'm saying, to have the world begin to wake up to the concept of a jubilee is incredible. There is, what I mean by all that, is there's something afoot here. There is stirring in the air when it gets on the ears of the heathen, the jubilee. I mean, it's incredible to me that it was a question in the first place. I think there's hope.
I agree, and as a double witness, I had no idea you were going to bring that up, but as a double witness just this past week, I was contacted by no less than three new people listening to EFR, telling me what a blessing the good folks here at EFR are to them in showing them the identity message, but also just being a source of people that are concerned and care and bringing forth truth. And the other thing besides that was the number of channels. Now, I watch quite a few different channels now that I'm retired. I have the time to do that. So I'll check out quite a few different sources on any given day. And what I have noticed over the past couple weeks is a large increase in the number of people who are of faith, but now they're like rejuvenated. Before, you didn't even really know they were of faith. They were talking more about the secular stuff. Now they're talking a lot more about the Bible and our Heavenly Father and the need to get back to Him. And there's also been a very large increase in the number of people who were quite secular. In fact, this one young man was a devout atheist until about 6 months ago. He is now on fire. I mean, he is on fire with the Holy Spirit, talking to people that, you know, in the midst of all this trouble, we need to stay positive. We need to stay focused. We need to trust our Father. And again, here's something, Doc, I think people seem to lose sight of. Did not Christ tell us that in the latter days, this turmoil and raucous behavior would be so? He called it a great shakening is in the English. We put the terms great shakening in the heavens and the earth. Those terms, we're talking about the very things we're seeing today. The great shakening in the heavens and earth is talking about the fact that everything is upside down, that all of the things that we've believed in or thought was stable and we could trust, etc., we're finding out that it's just the opposite. It's made up of the most wicked people you can imagine.
Oy vey, everybody.
So, you know, we've got...
Jumai.
Hold on a minute here.
It's Sunday.
Okay. My troll showed up, so I got to block him. But anyway, we have, you know, all this stuff going on is a double witness to what you're talking about, that, you know, there is a moving of the Spirit, exactly as Father said in the latter days, that He would pour out His Spirit. It does seem to be happening, and that's why I say, even though I don't say that we should lower our guard, no, absolutely not. But at the same time, don't get caught up in all the pessimism and negativity. Let's stay on the positive side of this thing. Could tanks come down my street tomorrow and they come in here to try to take me down? Yeah, that could happen. But where's my faith? Where's my faith in the Father that said, I'm here according to Psalm 91 and Psalm 149, etc.? We're doing the work of Father. Last time I checked the scriptures, it says that we have a hedge of protection around us. So either we do or we don't. Now, these same tanks that come down the road, maybe they'll take my neighbor out. Maybe they'll take the whole community except my house. I don't know. But the point of it is, those of us who claim to be followers of the Father, we should stay on the positive side of things and reach out and throw out the lifeline to our brothers and sisters who are in the middle of this quagmire, and they're just now starting to wake up. That's what we were prepared for, Doc, is to be here with those lifelines when the remnant wakes up. Would you agree or not?
Indeed. Absolutely. But I'd like to make a comment about why the Father would allow this evil to get this bad. And I'm going to say this because it has to happen. He said it was, this evil is going to have to come to its fullness. Now, I'm not a preacher. I just don't have the, I'm not a pastor. I do not have the patience for it. So I leave that up to those that are gifted with that. But I'm going to say this. The fullness of evil. Why would he allow that? Well, first of all, he has given us a little sliver of his character. We have free will. We're not totally sovereign over this universe. He is. But he's given us something to be sovereign over, and it's called planet Earth. In the meantime, we gave up that sovereignty when, you know, all that stuff happened a few thousand years ago. But why is he allowing the evil to continue and not just come down and end it? I'll tell you why. When you begin to look at the fullness and what's going to be coming up, it needs to come to its peak. It has to be complete. Because you and I might get mad at somebody and want to literally chop their head off. But until we chop their head off, we haven't murdered anybody. Are you following me so far?
Yep, absolutely.
We've been checked. We have something in us that kept us from acting out a crime or breaking one of the commandments. The Father has to judge this evil on this planet. And let me give you a person so that you can understand. Hillary Clinton is not just a bad person. Hillary Clinton is the epitome and definition of pure evil. And she has yet to fulfill her most, and she's done a lot. But she still is full of hate. She still has not been full as she has in her heart. She has not manifested the complete fullness of her evil. And for God and country, or Yah and our community, and I talk to the heathen all the time, so I rarely say Yah, so excuse me. For our sake, he has to allow that to manifest, because there's something worse than physical death. He wants to judge all of this evil and people like Hillary Clinton with the worst evil in their heart. He wants that evil to be judged, and it has to manifest for him to adjudicate, because they have to act upon it. He's going to allow them to act upon it. Now, that does not mean we're going to be slaughtered. It means it's going to be tough. And he's saying, I'm going to let them, I'm going to open the gate, and the mean bull is loose. But that doesn't mean I haven't given you high ground and a mountain to get on. He can't reach you. But the bull's got to try and kill you so I can judge him to his fullest. And I will adjudicate that, and guess what's coming to help? We've got an army. So it has to be horrid yet. So there's something on the way. And that's the fullness of their evil.
It does seem to be, it does seem to be transpiring that way, Doc.
And so what I'm getting at, this is a blessing. Let them do their evil. Well, it's what the Father wants, so they can be judged. Not by us necessarily, by him, of course. In the meantime, what I've been wanting to focus on, and we have proselytized, you know, and it's all in this email I sent you. Maybe we could just start with it, because it goes through everything that I just really have in my heart today. So it's going to come, and we need to get ready.
All right. Well, do you want to start with this, the one right here, where the immediate need to collect intelligence?
Sure. Start right there.
Yeah, I think you covered the first two. So let's let's go into the immediate need for the remnant, because really that's what we're all about here, Doc, is the remnant. The remnant are told that they'll come through the fire. It doesn't say everybody else will. In fact, it's very specific that the whole purpose of the fire is to eliminate those unworthy. So we're only talking about the remnant.
Right. Well, so before us, our people, us, there's this immediate need to get ready to see this fullness manifest. They will manifest. We were told they would manifest. So, in order for us to do anything, we need to know what's going on. And to know what's going on, we need to collect intelligence. And so I wrote in the emails that I sent out to the soldiers that are volunteering, we're going to have to collect this intelligence, and we're going to have to respond accordingly with some counterintelligence operations. And I said, it looks like the group that needs to recon the promised land is few, but with Yah, who can, you know, what can they do to us, right? If he's with us?
Absolutely. If he be for us, who can be against us?
And I come to this point after, you know, pastors and prophets and teachers and others that have been working hard for years and years, that have been giving important information to all of our kin that's, you know, scattered everywhere, with books, with broadcasts, with gatherings, so forth, have received a lot of information, and many have, and there's been a response, and many have repented, but, and there's a lot unrepentant, but everything has a season, everything. And I've told this to some Judeo-Christian pastors, and they said, no, it's always the season to proselytize. I said, well, yes, it's always good to give the good news, but there's never going to be this, you know, huge revival of thousands walking up or anything like that. There's not going to be any of that because it's not the season. The Father has steps that he's going through with his kingdom to come back to fruition here, and he is now past the proselytizing in the big way, in the revival type. We're doing a remnant call now. So, because of that, we have a remnant, and now lies before us, as I wrote here, is a group of awakened Saxons, and I kind of put that in quotes, and that's not to leave out our other kin, right? It's just that it was a famous poem by Rudyard Kipling, The Awakened Saxon, and these are people that have, these are Israelite people who have repented. And how many of you are ready to do something? How many of you have reached the boiling point, or as that writing was so good at saying, how full is your wrath? Well, I can tell you, I've had it. I've just had it. Now, I know we're few, but the point is, for us to survive, we can't wait any longer. This is it. Because there's a war against our people, and it's getting hot. It is now hot. Now, right now, who's falling? Who is falling? It's our people. Our people are falling. Chicago, Illinois, Washington, California. But right now, the ones that are falling are the unrepentant of Israel. So guess who's not falling? And guess who's not going to fall? And we've got to keep going forward, though, or we're going to be, we have to act upon what we're doing, just like what you said. It's symbolic. when you give. It's, do we really have the capacity as a people to go against the beast? What was that? What's that passage, Pastor?
Who can war against the beast?
Who could do this? You're going to go, you know, let's say you've got the best weapons money can buy at your house. Is one of them an Apache helicopter or an M1 Abrams tank? You don't have enough. We don't have enough to come against the beast. But we do have something. And that's the Father. And we are a remnant. And we are believers. We are repentant. In order for us to go forward, though, we're going to have to get smart, because that's how we're going to make it. There's, in a war, I started in here by saying, in a war, no response to a threat can be mounted without two things. Now, this comes from a very ancient Chinese art of war writing, and it comes out of that. I'm paraphrasing it. First, we must know who we are. In other words, we must know, in that writing it meant, we must know our strengths and weaknesses, and we must know the enemy's strengths and weaknesses. Well, we know who we are. Do you know that Judeo-Christians don't? So that means, according to Sun Tse, that's going to be, when they engage, and they don't know who they are, even though they're a believer, they don't know who they are, they're going to win only half their battles. The only one that's going to win all their battles is for the people of faith that know who they are and also know who the enemy is. Because for 30 years I grew up, I didn't even go to church until I was 10. And I kept saying I was going to die, I'm dying, what's going to go on, what's this dying stuff? Because I grew up with all my family dying of cancer. That's why I got into the work I do. And when I got done doing enough pestering of my relatives that, well, what's going to happen when I die, my mother decided it was time to bring me to church. I grew up understanding Scripture in a certain way. But what was left out was who I was and who the enemy was. And so that left me, after having gone to church for years, a private religious college, university, and to a second private Christian university, and a third one, which was not really Christian. It was for a few courses in a Catholic university, only because the hat was creepy. I never could find out what caused so many contradictions nobody could answer. It was because they would not admit who they were, nor, for some reason, admit who the enemy was. One time I was looking at this, I said to one of these pastor types, okay, I said, well, it looks to me like there's another group of people out there that aren't even us. You know what I was told? Oh, don't even go there. You're on the wrong track. Bull, it's the only way to answer the question. So if we're going to fight this fight, I don't want somebody in the foxhole with me that's a heathen. I don't want somebody that's a Satan worshiper. I'm not fighting for their rights. This has nothing to do with the Constitution protects everybody. No, this nation is nationality based, and we are here. This is not a melting pot. This is a white Anglo, excuse me, and I'm putting everybody in this little description, Anglo-Saxon nation based on the Father's principles, and that's it. We aren't based on Sharia law. We are not based on the Kabbalah. We're not based on those perverted Jewish writings. None of it. So is your wrath full as mine?
Oh, I've been there for a long time, brother. Yeah,
I know. We are, aren't we? We are full. They have manifested, and they're going to manifest even more. And so here we are. We're these Anglo-Saxons whose wrath is now boiled up. And I want you guys, and I need your help. So we have to move forward. And so I guess that's where we should start now, right, is talking about what we're going to do. Because we've got to have this before we can do anything.
Yeah,
and,
amen.
You know, what do you do when you're trying to attack something? You have some kind of signal. You shoot up a flare. You make a call. You press a button. The alarm goes off. The timers are all synced. The watches are, timed to go. You know, it's coordinated. If you can't communicate, imagine if we couldn't talk. How do we coordinate anything? So we got to quit muting ourselves of the intelligence that we have laying out there right here among us. We have become soldiers still of, you know, against an evil that's been here all the time. Before I was here, and we are at war. We better start acting like it. We can't just debate these silly little things and kick each other in the shin. It's time to turn around and shove that sword right straight down their throat. Now, what I'm proposing is we have to move forward. We have to recon the landscape. And to do this, we're launching a COINTEL, and then we have to launch COINTEL operations after we get the intelligence. So there's two things we're doing. We're collecting information. And then we have to respond. Now, how do you want me to keep going? Pastor?
Yeah, just a second. I wanted to inject here a little tidbit that was asked of me recently, and I think it applies to a lot of people and also okay. to what you're talking about. But in many, many conversations with other members of the remnant, it's who do we trust? Who do we trust? You can't trust the mainstream media. We know that. You can't trust 99% of anybody that's a public servant. You can't trust the mainstream churches, obviously. So on and on. So who do you trust? Well, I propose, Doc, we're the ones you trust. I said over a year ago that I thought EFR would become the go-to place for truth. Not that we're perfect and not that we, you know, can't make a mistake here and there, but for the most part, our hearts are in the right place and we're doing our level best on a human level to bring absolute truth about any given topic to the listener. And I think going forward, Doc, I get the sense that what you're doing is working with the remnant. You can become a secondary go-to place in a different form of communications. EFR, of course, is doing its thing to wake people up, but what you're talking about sounds to me like it would be a parallel path to give those out there who are desperate for the truth. You know, the Bible talks about a famine for the truth at this period of time, and that's exactly where we're at. There is a famine for truth. You and this COINTEL setup would be a way to get get truth to the people. I mean, we have to have the truth. It's better to have just a small amount of truth than a whole bushel basket full of lies. Correct?
That's right. Good intelligence with the intent, it has to have the heart. The heart, this isn't going to work if we don't have the heart. Somebody could join the group with bad intentions, right? Well, I'm going to sabotage. Good luck, because we got too many bullet holes in our T-shirt from the past, and we figure you guys out real quick. So, you know, you're going to be rumbling with some veterans here, okay? Literally, you're going to be, you know, you're being dangerous territory if you're our enemy. I mean, extremely dangerous. So let me put it this way. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we already got them scared. Our men, I didn't even know what I could trust about myself. Let me kind of go there. I don't know what I'm going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. In fact, when I got caught and I had all these AK-47s pointed at me by a bunch of communists, and their commander gave an order and all these guns came up, there were about 20 of them. I thought I was going to get shot. I was shaking, and then all of a sudden, I just came to this very calm, I never felt so peaceful, really. The stress was gone, the fear was gone, and I became bold. I couldn't have predicted this. That's what we're going to be. We'll be able to have that, because the Father's going to equip us. We just have to be receptive. We have to have the right heart. So we're going to be doing the best we can. We're not perfect, but we're going to be doing the best we can to get intel, and our group's going to gather this intel. Now, there are various agendas out there that are being mounted by all kinds of different organizations, and I think that's what I addressed in here, and I'm reading it now, that you're talking about. Some of these groups are not with the kind of knowledge we've got, but they're fighting our enemy. So regardless of who they are, why don't we discreetly get them good intelligence and let them use it? If they don't, fine, but we can still use it. So there's two big categories within this project, this building up, this army of intelligence gathering, and there's two venues, and I can go through it but what we're needing is, if you're willing to help and you're feeling this need to help, you're answering a call. I think that's the only way that I can put it. And Pastor, you could probably do better than I can about this. That's not answering my call, though. You're not answering. You're not wanting to do this because of me. Some don't even know me. So who do you think's put that on their heart? They were ready. These men were ready. They had nowhere to go. They didn't know where to go. All I am is a guy standing on top of the box, being the biggest target, pointing a certain direction. That's all I'm doing. That's the direction. That's it. We're going, you know? But somebody had to. And by the way, for lack of a better name, I'd like to, at this point, refer to our group as the ISC. When you guys want to get involved with this, you're going to be working with the Israelite Signal Corps. Now, well, how we're going to do this is very interesting, and I've got an email out about the nitty-gritty of how it's going to get this stuff, and I don't know how deep we want to go into it, Pastor, but we have two categories, and I talked about this maybe last time, I don't recall. One is going to be, literally, let me put it to you this way, the military world and nation states are still transmitting via satellite, via shortwave radio and signals, back and forth all the time between themselves. And we can get this information. Now, we've got to take this information and do something with it. Now, as we gather this information, we're going to know what. We're not going to know what, excuse me, we're not going to know what, because it's probably going to be encrypted, right? And today it's not like did, it's not that, it's more zzz, zzz, sounds like a fax machine. But 100% of the time, even though we don't know what it is, we know when it's going to happen. We have schedules now. And we know where it's happening. And because we know the signal source and the owners of that signal, we now know who is involved about 90% of the time. And oh boy, like I said here, oh boy, do we have the goodies on our enemies. So, by knowing who, we are able to know which group or nation is involved. And I'm talking about it could be China, it could be Russia, it could be the United States, and Israel. We get crap of theirs and military chatter from Israel all the time. What do you think we ought to do with it? Throw it in the trash? So, when we correlate the actions from news events with the signal activity, now we can extrapolate a picture. Now this is really important. This is actually the core work of the ISC that we're going to be doing. Now this is going to allow us to quantitatively assess the threats to our people in the United States, and by that our people. I'm not talking about the Mexicans that came here. I'm not talking about the Japanese on the West Coast and or the Orientals in Chinatown. I'm talking about the white Anglo-Saxons that this nation was established for. So if there's rhetoric about North Korea that does not match certain signal intensity and frequency, and by that I mean how often, we know that the news is not being acted upon. But if those frequencies and intensities have no news, that does not mean there's no activity. There's going to be some kind of activity when it ramps up. So we have quantitative numbers to know when things are busy, not busy, who they are, where they are. And if a little bit of correlation with some of the input that we get from, you know, our friends that give out information, well, we've got a pretty good picture. So, we're setting up a pretty sizable project here. I know it sounds daunting, but I've got, I don't know how to say it otherwise, I've got a lot that was just dropped in my lap where people already knew how to do this. And who it is a group of people that have been hobbyists for years and years and years. And they just listen to this stuff as a hobby. So.
So again, Father was preparing for this day and we didn't even know it.
We didn't even know it. We absolutely... It's incredible that we didn't have an idea that this existed. Who are they? I've got it all. I'm not going to tell who they are on the radio, okay? I wouldn't want to do that. But here's what we're going to do. The ISC, our group, along with the knowledge of all these other groups, is going to be implementing or using that knowledge of these international group of hobbyists, okay? And we're going to do this by accessing all of their information via the internet and other things that I'll tell you about when we get together more cryptic. I won't pop it all out here, okay?
Correct.
And also by infiltrating the hobby groups around the world. Now, I've already done some of this. I've already done it. I've already see if this would work. And I don't know, you saw the email, you saw a little membership certificate, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was sent to me. And I'll tell you who it is. This is just one, so no big deal. It's called the Feld Hell Club Membership. Now, that's a really strange name, isn't it? Feld Hell, H-E-L-L, Club Membership. This is a fellow by the name of Rudolf Hell. A incredible last name, huh? That he's kind of like Alexander Graham Bell, he came up with a way of putting signals out that were ended up kind of being like faxes, literally. So these organizations have all kinds of things that allows these groups to track signals all over the world. We're going to use them to educate our ISC warriors. We're going to be using some of the tools they developed and acquired over the years, and it's all free. So just one of the groups, here's what they tell what they are. We're a collective of number station enthusiasts, giving you an in-depth view to the world of spying and government control. Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about just a bunch of wusses. These guys actually kind of worry about getting in trouble for even listening. You know how the Jews would say, well, just listening would be a crime. I mean, if you heard it, it was probably a crime. Well, then don't put it out there, stupid. You know, it's not my fault I heard it. So it's kind of like saying, well, you know, having a gun's a crime. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to shoot you and make it worth my while, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is we have everything there. It's laying in front of us, and it just went smack in my face. Now, you might be going, how are we going to do it? I am not going to reveal too much more of this email because it's too tactical. But trust me, for quite some time, one of the listeners that I had for my radio show is preparing and has been preparing a portal for us to use so that we can collect and share this intelligence. It's well underway. He is extremely brilliant. He's an electrical engineer. And, oh boy, do we have talent. Right here in front of us. I mean, we'll look at Pastor Steve. I wonder if he knows what to do with a ham radio.
I think that's a given. Hey, let me. That brings up something real quick, Doc. Some of the listeners probably have the heart. They're feeling the calling to assist, but they're a little bit timid because they haven't operated ham radio before, or they're not quite sure of all the technology and the terms you're using. What would you say to the person out there that really wants to jump in here and help with the Israelite Signal Corps, but they feel like they don't have enough talent or equipment or anything like that? What would you tell them?
Well, first of all, as far as talent, we've already put together training. So you're covered. And you're not going to be given stuff you can't do. We're going to be asking you to do things that actually make a difference. I mean, you're not going to be doing grunt work. We're going to tell you, here's the bells, here, turn this knob, do this thing. We're going to give you how to do it, and then we're going to ask you to put some common sense into it while we're trying to get this information collected. So it's going to be extrapolating a lot of info. It will not be hard. We can train people. While we also have these radios, we're not just collecting information. We're setting up a network so that we can have, when it hits and gets really, really bad, we can have our own communication network. It's kind of like, hey, although I can't play with the weapons right now, but when it hits the fan, I'm going to have one regardless, because what difference does it make, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that we have the ability right now, and I've got it, huge volume of information. And we've had on the East Coast a person making what is called the ground crew radio. It's our radio. It's for our group. And I have all kinds of training material how to use it. I have training material on how to use all the ham stuff. But we're also got some things called SDR equipment. This is software-driven stuff. And you don't even have to have that. That's very inexpensive compared to other things. It's about the cost of a good CB radio, and you can listen to all this stuff. But we have sites of links that you can go to that allows you to listen. We have training. So there is training. There's no one going to be left behind because they don't know how to do this. If you don't have any money to put in any radio, don't worry about it. In less than a week, you'll be listening and it won't cost you anything.
So, excellent. Yeah, so once again, for those who feel led to be part of the Israelite Signal Corps, email me at bydpastordan, that's all together, bydpastordan, at yahoo.com, and I will forward your information to Doc, and then he will contact you and set you up.
So for those of us that are involved, and of course those that have just joined, you should have yesterday, all of you and others, should have received an email kind of outlining what I just said and more with links. Probably before today's out, I will have a whole bunch more information that has to do with training and gobs of other stuff that's going to be going out later, probably today, to the Signal Corps soldiers. So, and you can do this anywhere. And we don't just need them in the States. We need them in Australia. We need them in Europe. We need them everywhere. Anywhere in the world, this will work. We also have, for those of you that can't seem to get rid of your phone, which I don't use, by the way, those smartphones, we have a device that will encrypt you, that you send your text messages through, and it sends it to a network, and it's all encrypted. I'm not going to get into it any more than that, but it's external to your phone, but your phone goes through this device, and out to the world it goes. And it only can be read by those that have the way to decrypt this very encrypted signal. And we only use it in text message form. So we have neat gadgets. We have training. We just need the heart has to be wanting to, and we can make it happen. We're going to do this so that we can find out all kinds of things. We're going to find out if we're being lied to. It could be that our politicians we have faith in actually are lying, which, golly, I wonder if that's ever happened. And exactly what we might actually see coming up. Are we on the brink of something we need to prepare for? We're going to try and keep our finger on the pulse. And after we collect all this information, then guess what we're going to do? We're going to go co-intel. Now, what is counterintelligence? Now, kind of to help people understand what counterintelligence is, I always like to ask somebody what they think it means. So, Pastor, what do you think counterintelligence means?
Well, counter usually means to go against. Counteroffensive, in other words, your enemy came at you, and now a counter would be going back against your enemy. So I would think counterintelligence is intelligence against what the enemy's doing.
So, right, if you can find out what they've got planned, now you've got to figure out a way to counter it. Now, this isn't going to involve scary stuff like pointing a gun and pulling a trigger at somebody. That's not how this works. You can foul up so many plans without doing any more than feeding them the wrong information at the right time, and it just screws everything all up for them. Because they are acting upon information they've gathered. And so there's going to be a very strict regiment of men here that learn where they can talk about this without letting the enemy know we know. We don't want the enemy to know what we know, right?
Correct.
Because then they would not trust what they're listening to. We want to feed them stuff to mess them up. In the meantime, that's all on the radio side. That's all on the signal side. And this is also more encompassing than just radios. We're also going to launch a counter-intel operation on the internet. And it's going to be valuable. It's going to be needing people. If you've been at a chat or if you've put comments on an article on the internet, and that's all you know, you can do that. That's all you need. We need you. And now we're going to launch that kind of activity into a counterintelligence operation. All day long, the Southern Poverty Law Center sets up groups that go into a warehouse, set on metal chairs and folding tables and slime us and pander their crap all over the internet, making comments, lying, and so forth. And, of course, Israel themselves has their new media group that's constantly trying to get propaganda out in front of people that literally working in social media and comments on stuff like if you go to Zero Hedge, you're going to see their work. And we have their names. We know who they are. And we're going to do nothing more than to spread their names, because there's nothing like sitting there making a comment and somebody says, I know who you are, I know what your name is, here's your name, and I know where you're at. It's kind of scary. It gets kind of scary when you can scare the bejeebers out of these little lizards, these little rascals that seem to be creating so much hell because basically they're just a bunch of cowards. When's the last time they've ever fought anything? Okay. So they were in full gear, they had helmets on, they had automatic weapons, they had flak jackets on, and some kid threw a rock at him, and they walked right up to the kid and shot him in the head. Oh, that's real brave. How about if he was sitting across from an Anglo-Saxon, had been trained in special forces, and he comes out of the Marines and faces, what do you think that guy's going to do? You think that Jew's going to stay and fight? They're not. And we're going to do, if the Jews think it's important to fund an outfit that goes on social media and makes comments and also goes into comment sections in critical locations, and I'm not going to give those lists of critical locations, then it's important for us to do the same thing. So we need to counter their disinfo. This is going to be a busy time. Now, this is a work in progress, Pastor. And I'm taking it very slowly forward, because by the time we come out of the, so to speak, the briefing room and get on that airplane and our feet hit the ground, it's roll time. We are going to be very busy. So we want to make sure everybody's ready to go.
Well, it's a plan. It sounds absolutely workable, doable, and appropriate for this point in time, from everything I'm gathering. And a lot of folks have to understand something. We only share on the air here a small portion of all of the intel and data that we go through on a daily basis. I can guarantee you that Pastor Eli and Steve and Paul and Dan from Georgia and David James and the rest of the good folks here at EFR and other channels too, they have a tremendous amount of information. We're trying to sift it and boil it down to nuggets that we can share with the good folks out there. And really, based on all that information, what you're trying to do here is very timely and very appropriate. I would encourage anybody that feels led to help, contact us. And like I said, I will get the information to Doc, and Doc can directly contact you. Personally, I was led by the Holy Spirit to buy my radio gear almost 20 years ago. And so I've been lugging it around all that time, brand new in the box. It hasn't even been powered up yet. Which really, that's not very smart. Most electronics people would tell you you should at least power it up, make sure it's going to work. But it's brand new and it's high quality, and I have no reason to believe it won't work when the time comes. But again, many of the folks I've known, the True Patriots and those trying to make a difference, they've been setting up Radio Shacks and portable radio equipment for many, many years. And so when the time comes when I can't use what I'm doing now to communicate with our people, then I'm prepared hardware-wise anyway to switch over to the other venue. And then with your help, I'll be one of those people linked in and doing the same thing you're doing or whatever it is you give me to do. Because you're right, communications is important, and the truth is important. We have to remember our Father told us truth will cut the enemy like a double-edged sword. And in fact, the reference in the New Testament of the coming of Messiah said that he would have a double-edged sword proceeding from his mouth. And for years, I read that passage and I thought, that's kind of ridiculous. What kind of soldier would come onto a battlefield with his sword sticking out of his mouth? Your sword belongs in your hand. And then in this modern age, with the ability to speak his truths to literally the entire earth, then that verse makes all the more sense now than it ever has. The spoken word, when it's delivered with the proper attitude and it's the truth, and its purpose is to enlighten and to eliminate evil and to lessen the pain and suffering of humanity, it does cut like a double-edged sword, wouldn't you say?
Indeed. The war is here first. If we lose this war, bullets will fly. That's what's going to happen. Now, getting back to the one part where I was talking about fighting a war, when you mount a response, you have to know who you are, and you must know the enemy. And you were talking earlier, and I'm not switching gears. I'm just trying to bring that topic in that you brought up. Is you said that there's going to be some information supposedly that's going to rock the Christian world. It's this comment right here that I made about us knowing who we are and knowing who the enemy is. And it's related to that's going to be that. Is what is coming. I'm going to predict it right now. That is what's coming that's going to rock the Christian, Judeo-Christian world. It's going to rock them to their knees. And here's what it is. When all of a sudden, sitting in front of them is going to be evidence that fallen angels brought us some pretty nasty people. And that they literally, it said the seed, and the Bible, of course, says the seed of Satan. It didn't say his brothers or his other angel buddies. It says his seed. So pretty soon, I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to come from a really bizarre location. Maybe it's the Antarctic, I don't know. But they're going to be looking square in the face of undeniable evidence that's going to shake the Christian, Judeo-Christian world, and they're going to sit there wondering how is it going to affect them. And it's going to, it doesn't affect the fact at all. It's just going to rock their world because they've believed a lie. So it's going to rock them because it's a lie. How can you be rocked with facts? How can you be destroyed in your faith unless your faith isn't solid, on solid rock? I'm going to guarantee you that the Father is going to reveal to his people undisputable proof that we are fighting an enemy that descended from Lucifer himself. Literally. It's going to be proof. Now, we've got it now. I mean, you and I are awake. We know they're sitting over there and calling themselves who they are is a big fat lie. We know that. But this is going to be historical enough. It's going to be some kind of academic connected. It might even be secret military stuff. But it's going to get loose, and it's going to rock the world because now coming out, maybe things that the Vatican's covered up and knew all along, because probably they're part of it. So I think that's what's going to happen. and you and I will be having to be, we need to be ready to communicate to those people. It doesn't make any difference. We still have a covenant, and it's for us, period. End of story. There may be, you know, the question has to be, what's scarier to think about? Whether there's just us in the universe? And that we're all alone? Now, that's kind of scary. Because if that's the case, well, this place is screwed up right now, right? But is there really others? Well, of course there is. And I think that's what's going to rock the world, because they have not wanted to go there. Just like that guy said to me one time that was a pastor. He says, oh, you don't want to go there. Well, I never left there after I figured out. You know, once you learn the truth, how can you deny the truth without actually just trying to fool yourself? You know you're lying. But some are so scared of what it can destroy and should destroy. It should destroy stuff. So we're all kind of different weapons in a battle. We're part of the same battle. We're all the radio broadcast is a weapon, and you know, so we do have the same enemy. We're fighting them with different kinds of weapons. Like, I think, wasn't it Colonel Potter was talking about that, right, in that last video?
Yes, I thought that was quite interesting. Colonel Potter had to come out and make a special video with the late breaking news. And again, it's in line with other sources that I have, so therefore I give it some credibility. And again, you know, Doc, I try to tell people, it was just like back in Y2K. Remember, that was the shortened form for year 2000, when everybody thought all the computers were going to crash because the dates were all just two digits for the year, and that was going to cause software to all crash. And there was a great big Y2K scare, and I even had friends of mine that were working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, changing code, trying to prevent anything major happening. And so when nothing really, there were a few hiccups, but when disaster didn't come, then I had a lot of people saying, Dan, you got us worried for nothing. And I told them, I said, look, all my shows are recorded, so I know exactly what I told you. I said, what I told you was there was a potential problem. That's all I ever told you. And that you should be prepared in the eventuality that this potential problem became real. Well, personally, it was a hallelujah. It didn't come real, because if it was real, everything in America would have shut down for a period of time until all the new code had been written and everything had been brought back up on computers. So, you know, people sometimes really annoy me when you're trying to warn them about things, and then all of a sudden it didn't happen quite that way, and they think you misled them. It's like, did you hear the words? Did you all of a sudden forget the English language? Didn't you go, wait a minute, that's right, you went to public school, so you probably don't know what a dictionary is, and you probably don't know what dictionary definitions are. But, you know, it's you're very careful about wording. I studied very hard. I got straight A's in school. I studied my English, and I went on to become a professional technical writer. So I know what it means to scan documents and to be very, very particular on how you word things, because in my line of work, if I worded it wrong, you could get somebody hurt or you could trip the plant and cost the company millions and millions of dollars. And so I'm very, very careful in the wording, and yet there's still people out there that just don't listen. They just don't listen. They get a little piece of information like what you might try to tell them, Doc, and they run off with their imagination, and then when their imagination doesn't become real, then they think you're the problem. They don't ever look in the mirror and figure out that something happened between their ears and their brain, and that's what they control, not you and I. That's what they control. And I believe that's why Father said that we should guard carefully what enters our ears and what enters our eyes. And that's why we're supposed to be very... Go ahead.
I was going to say it takes maturity. We have to have elders in the faith. We don't put babies in the faith in a position that is exposing them to information without them understanding how to counter the thoughts that are coming in their mind because they're not trained yet. It's kind of like what I have to tell everybody, and I will remind them, when we're collecting information, this is about the potential future events that are coming. Anything in the future is not set in stone except the prophecies of the Father. Those are set in stone. I mean, that's going to happen. Now, what we want to do is when these guys are planning something and we predict something, we're not actually predicting it. We're having a evaluation of how high the potential we think it's going to be for something to happen. And we're going to be feeding this to you, to EFR people, so they can put it on their broadcast. So for example, we can say that, well, let me give you the real life example. And many of you already know, I got trained by a man that was counterintelligence, 45 years, the whole bit. Whenever there is a 10% chance or more of many people dying, the intelligence community begins to act upon it. So let me give you a picture when there's life in the balance here of how important 10% is. Now, right off the bat, before I actually tell you that, and I always like to ask this question too, is how high does 10% sound? Just kind of off the cuff here, Pastor, how high is 10% likelihood sound to you? How's it sound to you? Is that high or low or what?
That's relatively low.
Okay. So let's take that 10% and let's make 10 chambers in a revolver. Okay? Let's make it a big gun. You know, let's put a free 357 just for the hell of it, right? And it's got 10 chambers. Let's get one bullet in those 10 chambers, okay? We'll slip it in there. We're going to pull it, and now we're going to spin that cylinder and let it click stop. Now we're going to put that gun to your head. Now how low, how important is that 10%? Is it going to make you sweat or what?
Oh, it's kind of very makes you want. Yeah, it's very important it's, now.
isn't it different? It is, isn't it? It has to do with understanding the importance of the event combined with the likelihood of it happening so that we can put some kind of concept out there. I mean, only an idiot would do this, right? Put it up their head and pull the trigger. I mean, really. Let me give you another concept. Let's say there's 10 walls in front of you, or 10 doors on a wall in front of you. And you're going to have to walk through one of them because of the wall behind you. You're going to have to go through one. You're going to be forced because the wall behind you is moving. And you're going to be crushed between two concrete walls. But you've got one door you can go through out of 10. And one of those doors is a room full of Ebola virus and you're going to die with excruciating pain. Now, how scary is it? See, it's a lot different, isn't it? So we've got the gun scenario. We've got this scenario. The bottom line is that we have to understand that as we're predicting that before us is a 10% chance of something, more than likely dangerous to us, does not mean it's going to happen. In fact, there's a 90% chance it won't happen. So hopefully most of the time, like you say, praise the Father that nothing happens. But we still have to be very sober in how important it is to understand that what's been predicted, we hope, doesn't happen. At the last minute, they have plans to do things. They have plans within plans to do things. And because it didn't happened did not mean they didn't have the intent. So here's the bottom line. Intelligence is trying to read their mind and figure out their intent. But there's one good thing about it. The awakened Saxons already knows their intent. What's their intent, Pastor? The bad guys. To kill us. They want to destroy us. I don't mean they want to. They don't want to put us in slavery. They literally want to destroy us. I mean, you know, it's kind of sick. Well, it is sick because, you know, after you kill all the cooks and factory workers and all the people that build their palaces and make their Mercedes-Benz and Rolls-Royces, they're left kind of to do it for themselves, aren't they? But see, when you're when you have a perverted brain and you're demented in the first place because your DNA's all screwed up, it didn't have to make common sense. That's an Anglo-Saxon's thinking.
Yeah. Hey, we've go ahead.
I was just going to say, so what we have is we're trying to discover the intent of their plans and what they plan on doing comes in various forms. We're trying to find out what those forms are. And that's all we're going to be doing. But we're going to be countering that. We're going to try and throw them some wrenches in their gears. Go ahead.
All right. Throw a monkey wrench in there. We've got a caller, area code 702. Do you have a comment or question?
Yeah, how you doing, Pastor Dan? I've just got a quick question for you guys. I haven't listened to many of your radio shows, probably about six or seven of them because I just found you. I like them so far. I think they're good. But my question is today, I guess, what are you hoping to accomplish with this complicated plan that you have? Not you, Pastor Dan, the other gentleman there, with this intel and gathering intel. What are you hoping to accomplish with it?
Do you listen to news?
Sure.
What do you do with it?
I gather it in my head and realize that most of it's put out by the enemy.
Do they ever tell you something's going to happen?
No, not really.
No. We're going to try and tell you what's coming. I think that's missing in news. Now, that's assuming you could trust their news, right?
So yeah, none of their news can be trusted.
Of course. And you know, even our intent doesn't mean we won't make mistakes, but you're probably saying, so is this worth it?
Yeah, that's basically, I guess that's what I'm asking. Is that it sounds awfully complicated for a rather simple problem we have here.
And the problem is, maybe
the
you
problem
can
is
help
the
me
Jewish with... menace overhanging on us, our every move. We can't even get 200 people organized to go have a meeting somewhere in the country.
We don't need 200. We need five.
How many do we need? Five people?
We need 10. Sometimes we need 20. And if we don't have anything but one left, usually that guy ends up being a prophet. And I don't think you want to go to battle with a prophet of God.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I think what's happening is that it's not whether we win. It's whether we're being obedient. It's whether we're having the faith to move forward and act upon it. When Pastor Dan was saying give a dollar, do you think that dollar is actually going to conquer the beast? The dollar itself isn't going to do a darn thing much, is it? Really. But the acting upon it shows the Father the intentions and that we're doing everything we can do because, tell you the truth, he's going to have to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, I agree with you there, sir.
So we're going to have to just be obedient with what we've been called to do. Now, this isn't for everybody. I mean, there's some that do radio shows. Maybe you won't want to do them, but you're going to find that if you're in his will, you're going to find something that he puts a passion on your heart to do, and that's what you should do. If it's not this, then hey, I'm all for you. You go do what he wants you to do because we need it. It needs to be done. I'm not the commander. I'm not a commander anymore. I'm retired.
Right, right. Now, I did a radio show about 5 or 6 years ago back that was pretty popular. I'd rather not say what it was or who I am now. But I used to do a radio show. I've had websites. I have a large website that was pretty damn large back in 2012, 2011, 2013. And now I just kind of stay behind the scenes and I contribute monetarily to people. But from what I've seen from in this short time span from, let's say, 2011 until now, is a huge awakening of our people is happening. Now forget about waking up to the Jewish menace, right? I'm talking about the identity message. I encountered this, the reason why I'm calling in today, I encountered this last night. I was on a forum, a mainstream forum, a couple of them last night, that had to do with a particular sport. And on this forum, people were talking about who the Israelites are. And I was in complete shock. I was sitting here with my mouth open because I couldn't believe what I was reading. This is a good thing that's happening. But I think when we start getting involved in talking about these, these more, I call it more complicated aspects of this, such as gathering intel and things like this, we obviously can't prevent what they're going to do, correct?
Yes, we can. That's a presumption, I understand. But what if all of a sudden they're just innocently going somewhere to get a map to go do whatever it is they do, and they get given a map and directions that are incorrect, and they don't get it done? We can do things like that. Now, that sounds complicated, but let's go back to that place where you were talking. They were in comments, right?
Yes.
Our group isn't going to be complicated. The other side of our group that's going to be internet activity is no, you're wrong. The enemy is the Jew. It is Israel. And many of the people in this room that are chatting or commenting happen to be part of the new media group, and we've got the first lieutenant's name, and you can put that in there, and you'll be able to counter. Now, that's not hard. We can give them the facts, and that's all we want to do. You're right. That's all we need to do. The facts are going to do it. If we lose this battle, though, what do you think? Do you think bullets will fly? What's your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I believe that's the only solution. Okay.
Okay.
I believe that's the only solution because we're dealing with an enemy that cannot be talked to, they cannot be negotiated with. I listen to these pipe dreams of these people on the alt-right that say they want a white homeland. Good luck with that nonsense. You're never going to have
Let's say that it comes down to bullet flying. If you don't know who you are, and you happen to be in the U.S. military, and you're standing next to a Jew boy, you don't even have a clue your enemy's standing right there with a gun in the military with you.
No,
See, you begin to say, wait a minute here. Once you understand who you are, you go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong. I'm not supposed to be fighting this with this guy. He's the enemy. And that's
so
what we're going
to wake
up.
Wouldn't it make more sense to try? I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Let me finish this one thing, for
sure,
example.
Go ahead.
So, if we're going to find out who they are, and if you think bullets are going to eventually begin to fly, then we better have some names on who needs to be shot. So the co-founder and commander of the IDF New Media Desk is First Lieutenant Eliza Landis. Keep that in mind. We'll spread that name. It'll go all over these chat rooms and comment sections, and everybody will know who we've got targeted. So if it does get to that level...
We already know who all these people are. We know their names, where they live, and where they work.
Well, some of them we might not know. But here's what I'm trying to say. We do what we can do. And here, you won't know where to go or when to go. with the coordinated effort unless you have communications anyway.
I agree.
Now, you, if you want to go out there and stand in front of the beast with the armored personnel carrier with the M50 machine gun, and I've stood in front of them, and say, by God, you are going to die today, and you start ripping loose, ask Steve, Pastor Steve, what happens? The beast is going to chew you out and spit you out. So we have to be smart. We have to coordinate. The very first thing that we have to learn to do is how to talk and how to communicate and establish it and do something with it while we're establishing our communication system. If it goes hot, that system becomes the coordination center, the comm center, the comm HQ, the coordinating function of the Israelite army. But in the meantime, we've got projects we can do. I'm all for you. I hear what you're saying. Pastor Dan, what you want to comment, I'm sure.
Well, I just thought of a lot of things as you were talking. You know, we started this radio show 18 years ago, and let me tell you, there were a lot of days that I was excited if I had six people listening live. I mean, it was like, wow, I got six whole people. So, you know, but now I'm sitting here today looking back over those 18 years, and I'm so glad I never gave up. And again, I had people like my brother, my earthly brother, who told me, don't ever give up. He said, you know what will happen, Dan? He says, you just keep doing what you do day in and day out. And one day it's going to be like the country western singer that's singing in the little back alley cafes and stuff. And he does that for 15, 20 years. And all of a sudden he gets discovered and now he's in the spotlight. So again, we're given tools. Each and every one of us is given a tool to fight the enemy. And the scripture says to resist evil with all your heart. And that's all we're doing, is each and every one of us. I know Doc personally. He's got a high IQ. He's got all kinds of his resume is longer than my arm. So, you know, he's been given tons of tools, and he's just trying to use those as you did. And that's all we're saying, is we have an enemy, and we're going to use every tool that the Father gives us to bring this enemy down. No different than David when he leaned over and he picked up those smooth stones in the creek bed. And, you know, when the rest of the Israelites were up on the side of the hill, they weren't going to fight Goliath. And they saw him pick up those stones, and they thought, what are you going to do with those little stones? You're going to fight a guy that's twice as big as you are. You can barely lift his shield and his spear. He's so big. And yet, David didn't. He had total faith that the Father would guide what little efforts we make. And sure enough, one of those stones went right between the eyes in the only spot where there was no armor in that Goliath. And Goliath came crashing down, and David took his own sword. We can take the very weapons the enemy has formed against us and bring them down with it. That's my point.
Well, yeah, and the Internet's a good example of that, right? Their own tool bringing them down partially.
Well, here's an even better example. And again, I'm trusting what I'm getting from my sources. The NSA and all of this data collecting on the people of this world, and they've been doing it for a long time because they've been under Jewish influence through Israel and Operation Talpiot. So they've been collecting all this data on us with the intention to blackmail us and use it against us. And yet what I'm hearing is the United States military is using that very data on them. Where do people think WikiLeaks and all this stuff is getting all this information on, like Podesta and Hillary? You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but, you know, people, I hear this a lot, you know, well, WikiLeaks, you know, people like WikiLeaks and this, you know, WikiLeaks and Anonymous and all these different organizations, for lack of a better word. I believe that nothing ever happens. You know, we talk about these memos that come out. The memo came out. This guy got fired. This guy's under investigation. Nothing ever happens with any of it. No one goes to jail. No one loses their job. Nobody, nothing happens with all this information. And I think the route to go, forget about all this information. The route to go, I think, is to wake up. And here's my bottom line of the call, I guess. my bottom line of the call today, I guess, is, I think we need to concentrate on waking up our fellow white Christians to what's going on and formulate a plan to do that instead of getting – I think we're getting too far ahead of things. You know, it's like people always plan. You know, they're like, "What kind of government are we going to have? What are we going to do here? We haven't done anything yet. Nothing has been done. There's no even infrastructure built. There's nothing. I think we're getting way far ahead of ourselves. I think we need more people in the fold that think how we think." And the Father is waking them up. Okay, I think we can do more for that. We can go to these churches. We can go, you know, sit there on it. What else are you doing on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning? Nothing but sipping on a cup of coffee. Take a cup of coffee to one of these mainstream disgusting churches down the road and sit in the pews and talk to people there. Get to know them. Hand them a pamphlet or two. Hey, here you go. I came across this information. What do you think about this? I don't know anything about it. Here's a pamphlet. I just, you know, it's making me crazy, this stuff. And that pretend, you know, play the idiot.
Okay,
the
let me help you out a little bit. I hear exactly what you're saying, and there's a lot of people that feel this way. Let me tell you what you're feeling. You're battle weary.
Oh, I'm battle weary, all right. I want to go kill these bastards tomorrow. That's
awesome.
Battle weary.
Awesome. Let's direct it into something that keeps you alive for the big day, okay? So I know
I'm
you're
waiting
weary.
For the big day. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Here's what I want you to say. See. There is also a need to tell people the message. That's fine. If you feel compelled to do, that's what you should do. The Father has said, once they are told, what are we going to do with them until it's time to lock and load? Well, this is what we're doing. And I think that many people have gotten battle weary over the years. And yeah, you want hope. Yes, you've got to have hope, but there is hope. And I'll tell you who's going to really fight this battle. You listen probably to this enough to know that, like, when, say, Pastor Eli's talking, there's going to be a host come down. They're going to help us fight the big fight. The bottom line is that there are different departments in every war. For every guy in the field, how many guys are back behind supporting him that are in the military?
Half of them don't do anything. That's the problem. They do nothing. They sit back and listen to radio shows, and they do nothing. They don't even have a website. At least get a website. Do something. Get a website up. They're too scared to even talk to their family members about this. These people are a bunch of pussies.
Well, they're going to be under judgment, and I just want to just remind you guys, we got less than 4 minutes, and we got another caller. So let me give Gary in San Diego a few seconds here. Gary, you got to make it short, buddy.
Okay, Pastor. The only thing that I wanted to say is I've been listening to the other caller who called in, and he's questioning Dr. Waterman, and Dr. Waterman has given us information, just like this guy when he had his radio show. The only reason I know how to spell is because somebody gave me the information on how to spell. So you got the information now. It's up to the people whether they're going to do something or not. This guy doesn't appear to understand that. This Dr. Waterman, who I hope you give the website again, is giving us information. And we can take it and go with it, or do like this gentleman is doing. It seems like basically nothing. I don't want to disturb him a lot, but that's what I'm hearing. So he's got to be able to digest the information and do something with it. So anyway, Yahweh bless all of you, and I'll go back to listening. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, Gary, thank you. You know, there's a story in the Bible where the different fellows were given different talents, and what did they do with it? This is analogy and very apropos to what we're talking about here. All of us are given opportunities. All of us are given nuggets of truth, and what we do with them is what we'll be judged on. Just like in the story in the New Testament about the ones that were given talents, the ones that didn't do anything with their talent, they just sat on it, they were judged, they were punished. And those that turned around and did great works with their talents, they received a great reward. So, you know, I don't focus on what the deadbeats are doing. I focus on people like Doc Waterman here and Pastor Eli and Paul and all the rest that are taking their talents and using them against the enemy. And the number that are actually getting involved right now, I've never seen it higher. You're right. Not everybody
neither
is.
Neither.
But
I agree with you. I agree with you with that last
right.
point you just made, Dan. A lot of people are doing stuff with it. But as Mr. Waterman said, that, you know, I'm battle weary. That's a very good term for it.
Oh, yeah.
Negro fatigue also.
Okay. But you're not alone. You're not alone. I field emails and phone calls every day, all day long, with people in the exact same boat you're in.
Right. No, I hear you. The last thing I want to say, I'm going to call into your show more often. I like your program that you do. I like the guest you have on. And at a later date, I'll reveal who my name and things like this. I don't want
sure.
to right now.
Well, let me tell you this. Go back to the tent. Get refreshed. You're battle weary. I want you to get charged back up. Do some soul searching. Talk to some pastors. In the meantime, I've got your six. I'll be out there. If you come back out there, I'll be waiting for you. I'll slap you on the back, hand you a gun, and we'll go to work.
Very good. Sounds good to me, gentlemen.
All right, take care, and yeah, you're welcome back anytime. We got less than a minute, Doc.
Very good. Enjoy your day. Take it easy. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Pastor. And I'd love to do it again shortly in the near future. Got a lot to do, but and blessings to all those that have signed up on the dotted line. We're going to get you plugged in. Okay, I'll turn it over to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take good care. Yahweh bless your heart, and keep up the great work. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Eurofolk Radio. Doc's website is thewatermanfiles.com. We'll see you next time. Keep those prayers going. Walk with the Father. There is your security. There is your hope. Hallelujah.